This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Good times certainly had by the members of the Tea Party in different places around the country yesterday, as attested by the results of some primaries. Quentin Kidd joins me live on the program. He is director of the Department of Government, a political scientist specializing in Southern politics at Christopher Newport University. Quentin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing really well. Corey, how are you doing?
Very good, very good. School going okay? You got a lot of classes? Good things happening?
You know, it's about the third week of the semester, things sort of settle in and the rhythm takes a hold, and we're right at that stage, so I'm feeling okay right now.
Good deal. So what were your thoughts yesterday, the results? We had some primaries around the country and some big Tea Party victories.
Yeah, you know, there isn't a Tea Party, but there certainly is a Tea Party movement, and I think it takes different shapes and different forms depending on what part of the country we're talking about, and it sort of rises up and strikes at elections in different ways. Last night, obviously, Delaware was a surprise to almost everybody because the polling didn't show Christine O'Donnell doing that well. I don't think any poll showed her winning, although I think Republicans could see the surge in turnout coming, but it takes different shapes and different forms, and so I think the real problem problem with the way people are trying to analyze the elections is we have no precedent really in modern history for anything like this Tea Party movement, and so it's, you know, political analysts and pundits need precedents to be able to sort of talk off of, and we don't really have that in modern American history. We have kind of the Ross Perot reform movement, Reform Party. A couple of decades ago, but that's not even a close comparison. So the reason we're all sort of flailing about is we have no precedent for this.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd. The phone lines are open. Your thoughts at 977-1070. I'm interested in what the listeners have to make of the victories yesterday and what it might mean come November. What exactly is so unprecedented, Quentin? Because, as you say, we've had third-party movements before. We had fairly successful Ross Perot in the national debates. You know, had John Anderson in the 80s, and you go back, and I'm thinking of the 1912 presidential election, Theodore Roosevelt with the Progressive Party, former president, runs as a third-party candidate and gets quite a groundswell of populist support. Is this the new populism? Is it the conservative movement? And what's so significant about the Tea Party movement that makes it so unique and new?
Well, you know, just listen to the way you describe sort of third party movement history in American politics. You talked about leaders, and the Tea Party movement doesn't have identifiable leaders like that. There's not a presidential candidate or a big name national figure leader leading it. The closest we get is Dick Armey, a former member of Congress, but he shuns the idea of being sort of the leader. And so what we've got is a headless movement that is people talk about grassroots. There really is a grassroots to this. And the way I describe it, in particular across the South, it's really sort of angry Republicans who are as angry at the Republican Party as they are at Barack Obama and the Democratic Party. And they're just as willing to throw an established Republican off the boat as they are to line up and vote against a Democrat. And so I think that's, you know, because they're angry conservatives, Republicans feel ideologically closer to them. But, you know, it's like Republicans trying to get close to somebody that they aren't absolutely comfortable with. And so you see this sort of uneasy alignment. But I think what's really going on for Republicans is the Republican Party is being torn apart and recreated around and despite the resistance of the established Republican Party. Because if the Tea Party movement is going to survive, it's going to survive in a party. It's either going to be a party itself or it's going to survive in a party. Because it doesn't have nationalized leadership, it's not going to become a national party. What it's going to do is it's going to take over as much of the Republican Party as it can, and it's going to do it by kicking out these establishment Republicans that it doesn't like.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. So, Quentin, if I hear you right, one of the best things that it has going for it, the Republican Party, the Tea Party, excuse me, is that it is so decentralized and there is no identifiable national one leader. But that also seems to be the biggest thing it has going against it in terms of having real impact nationally.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you know, if there were a national, if it were centralized in some ways and there were sort of national guidance here, you would get sort of talking points and all. But that's exactly what the Tea Party movement supporters oppose, because a lot of that nationalized, centralized direction comes out of Washington. And so the real energy is its decentralized nature. You know, the different groups around the country and different groups around states can sort of get excited about somebody or not, and that's its energy. The Republicans are just befuddled, that the party people are befuddled, because they can't figure out how to get a hold of the energy and to keep the energy from hurting them. And in some places, they've done an okay job. If you look at Nevada and Sharon Engel, the Republican sort of establishment came in after she won that Senate primary out there, talked to her, and she sort of tried to move to the middle. But it sounds like Christine O'Donnell is saying, look, I am what I am. I'm not going to move to the middle. You guys either accept me or you stay out of my way.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University. I'm sitting here trying to think of a comparable phenomenon on the left, and the only thing that's really coming to mind is the Green Party movement, which itself was fairly decentralized, was more about shared common values, but they really started to get hurt in the late 90s and early 2000s when they tried to centralize and they tried to better organize.
Yeah, the structure, the nature of our two-party system is such that it's really difficult for a third party to survive very long, because they either try to centralize, which sort of just defeats the momentum that started them in the first place, or they get swallowed up by one of the two political parties. And we have some, you know, cases in history, way back in history, where the Democratic and the Republican Party sort of were once one and then split up, and other parties, little parties, regional parties, became a part of them. So this isn't absolutely unique in the history of our country. It's just unique in modern history. And what will happen is, you know, 5-10 years from now, we may not be saying Tea Party movement. What we may be talking about is a Republican Party that's much more conservative than it is today, because it incorporated the Tea Party movement and its ideas into it in a much more thorough way than it ever had before.
And and that's what fascinates me, because you're right, that's very likely to happen if they want to stay in office and they want to recapture the votes that they're currently losing to the conservative right, largely Tea Party. So what does that mean then for the Republican Party? Because I'm one of those folks, you know, former president of the Republican Party at my high school, who has watched over the last 20 or 30 years, watched the party that he truly loves moved so far to the right. And if I hear you right, if they adopt the values and the platforms of these various Tea Party organizations and this Tea Party movement, they'll move even further to the right.
I think that's true. I think it's dependent upon the state. And ultimately, the currency of politics is elections. And the people who gain the most currency, the party that gains the most currency, is the party that wins. So I think the real test is going to come this fall, in 7 weeks, when every voter who wants to vote has the opportunity to go vote and choose between a Republican who might have come out of a Tea Party movement and a Democrat. And in some states, you see the former sort of Tea Party movement Republican doing really well. Rand Paul in Kentucky continues to run ahead of his Democratic opponent. In other states, you see the Tea Party candidate sort of lagging. Sharon Engel is lagging Harry Reid in Nevada, Harry Reid, who was supposed to be really on the ropes just a couple of months ago. So I think it's going to depend. And in the end, how these elections come out in November will say a lot about whether the Tea Party movement has enough energy to reshape the Republican Party and win general elections, which is what it has to do. I mean, if the Tea Party movement reshapes the Republican Party, but they lose a lot of general election races, then that simply puts them on the ropes within the Republican Party, and the party then sort of continues to struggle with itself about what it's going to be.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd. He's director of the Department of Government at Christopher Newport University, political scientist. And that is really the thing to watch now. And we Karl Rove said recently in his observations what happened in Delaware, he said, well, we've lost Delaware then. He's already thrown up his hands and said the Tea Party victory in Delaware means that this Tea Party candidate who won the Republican Party nomination will not win in the general election.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's his prediction.
Yeah, they're looking at a state like Delaware, and they're saying, you know, Delaware, in the grand scheme of things, is not as right or as conservative a population as perhaps a Kentucky is. And so, if a Tea Party candidate wins in a Delaware, then they're probably not going to fare as well in a general election. But you know, in other states, it might not be as a big a problem. You know, the Republican establishment might be able to come in and work with, say, a Rand Paul when they can't work with a Christine O'Donnell. But it's also personality specific. Rand Paul doesn't have a lot of baggage, personal baggage. Christine O'Donnell apparently does. You know, Sharon Angle apparently does out in Nevada. Some things that they've said in the past, that sort of stuff. So I think it's state by state and race by race, for one. But you also can back up and try to look at the big picture and say the Republican Party is having a real ideological fight with itself, and it happens to be having this fight at a time when the economy is horrible and people are blaming the president and the Democrats for that. And so the fight the Republicans are having is not hurting them as badly as it might hurt them if the Republicans controlled the White House, for example.
Quentin, this what we're seeing nationally with this sort of the Republicans fighting amongst themselves for their shared values, really, is, you know, because there seems to be such a disparity between a moderate Republican and this conservative movement, the Tea Party movement, which I'm not prepared to say is really socially conservative. I'm not sure if this is the traditional conservatives that we've seen or if this is something totally new. But I guess what the question I'm getting to is, in Virginia, don't we have a long tradition of that? I mean, we've seen in Virginia for many, many years this sort of broken Republican Party. I shouldn't say broken. That's not the right word to use. But this disparity among more moderate Virginia Republicans and the more socially conservative Republicans. And they've always sort of been in a little battle in the Republican Party.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I think as unique as Virginia is, it isn't as unique as we sometimes think it is when it comes to these kinds of issues. Republicans all over the country have been struggling over essentially whether to pursue the Goldwater smallest government can be path, or whether to pursue the sort of Reagan, later Reagan, early George H.W. Bush path, which we call big government conservatism. So Goldwater said, cut government as small as you can get, and don't let it grow at all. And a new brand of sort of republicanism emerged in the 80s that said, you know, we're not going to be able to get rid of government, and so let's use it in ways that we want to make change. Let's use it in ways that we think are important. That's the real struggle in the Republican Party, and it's been going on all over the country, and it's kind of come to head. And, you know, I say Tea Party movement supporters would throw a Republican overboard as quickly as they'd vote against a Democrat because they were really frustrated with George W. Bush. They were really frustrated with the fact that government had grown so much, the deficit had gone up so high, that we were involved in wars around the world, etc. They were upset at George W. Bush, but because they are sort of more ideologically close to Bush than they are Democrats, they kind of kept their frustration at bay. But if the bailout,
it's sort of like feminists under Clinton.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. If the bailout had happened with Bush having a year left in office, Bush would have had trouble with these people. It just so happened that the bailout passed as Bush was leaving office and Barack Obama was left to implement the bailout, the stimulus package. And so they were able to turn their frustration at the administration implementing it. But if it had been the Bush administration implementing it, they would have been as mad at them as they are at Obama.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University, which is encouraging to hear that this isn't just necessarily, you know, the folks who lobbied and worked campaigns for John McCain and just now call themselves a Tea Party movement. There's something else going on.
Not at all. Yeah. These are not party purists. These are ideological purists. And there's a difference between those two things.
So I guess the big question then, with the time that we have left here, just a few minutes, the big question is, what does this mean, if anything, for Virginia? And, you know, we've already had our primaries. What does it mean for the elections coming up in November?
Well, you know, I think it means in the two districts where we've got, you know, seriously competitive races going on, the 5th and the 2nd.
Which is Central Virginia, Southern Virginia, and then the second is down at Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
The Republican candidates have really sort of had to ride the bull, if you will, and figure out how to get the Tea Party movement energy behind them. And I think Hurt has done a pretty good job of that. I think Scott Ridgel in the second, the Republican candidate in the second district, has really tried to placate the Tea Party movement without actually claiming to be a part of it or anything like that. And so I think they've pursued two different approaches to this. And you see, if the polling that we know is coming out of the 5th is right, and I think there's something to it that says it's right, Hurt is way ahead of Congressman Perriello and looks like he's going to be able to win that race. The second congressional district is a little closer, although I think the Republican is up, you know, a little bit. And so I think it's a matter of who turns out. It always is. The energy right now is in the Tea Party movement and the Republican Party generally. And so I think Republicans are in a good place. If they can just hold on to that Tea Party movement and not let it eat them, then I think they're in a good position.
Do you have you heard, or is the frustration on the left? Has that gotten a lot of play, the idea that, you know, the Republicans are saying that they're the ones to put into office when, you know, arguably they're the ones that broke it in the first place under 8 years of George Bush when they had the Congress and the White House. And, you know, George Bush started his term with supposedly a surplus and we needed a lockbox. And at the end, the economy was broken and in the worst shape we've seen since the Great Depression. And now those same folks are saying, hey, we can fix it.
I think the left is bewildered, actually. The problem with the left, and I say problem not in that they've got a problem, but the problem with the left right now is they seem to understand and accept the idea that government is needed to sort of do a lot because the economy is in the doldrums and we needed a stimulus and we need, you know, bailouts and that. Even if they're frustrated at bailouts at where the money went, they sort of accept ideologically the need for it and the role of government here. And so the left sort of sits back and says, I don't have a lot to be frustrated at, except that, you know, I want Obama to do more lefty things, and he's been spending his time trying to bail out Wall Street. So the left doesn't have energy behind it because it's not fundamentally mad that the government is involved in trying to fix the economy. And the Tea Party right is just livid that the government is borrowing money to bail out Wall Street and borrowing money to create healthcare programs, and the left simply isn't livid by that, and so you don't see the energy on the left like you do on the right.
And that's going to hurt Tom Perriello in the 5th and Glenn Nye in the 2nd.
Yeah, because, you know, voters are, they're, you know...
The left isn't energized, but the right definitely is.
The left isn't energized. They're not energized because they're not angry, but they're not energized because the president has spent all of his time trying to fix these problems and not doing things that the left would get excited about. And so the left isn't excited because they're mad or because they're excited by the president. And the Tea Party and the right is really mad. And that's what's got them excited.
We are honored to be talking with Quentin Kidd, a political scientist at Christopher Newport University, who joins us on occasion on this little program. We've got about 7 minutes in front of 5 o'clock. Quentin, the last question I have is, I am fascinated by the fact that the wars that we are currently engaged seem to have so little resonance in current politics, and they're just not coming up when we talk about elections and the polls. And in past periods in American history, the wars that we're currently engaged with have really resonated at the polls, and people have been talking about them and engaged in them and focused on them when it comes time to vote. And yet we hardly hear this mentioned at all, unless we're talking about wasteful spending vis-a-vis the military.
Yeah, two reasons. Number one, the economy really trumps all sorts of everything else. I mean, if you're out of a job, or somebody in your family's out of a job, or you're having a hard time, you know, with your mortgage, that's most important to you because it's immediately in front of you. So, number one, the economy sort of trumps everything, and it always has. But number two, the slice of our population that actually fights wars anymore is so small that one out of every six or seven Americans actually has somebody related to them who's directly involved in one of these wars. And so most of us don't have anyone involved directly in the military or in combat, and we're all dealing with economic hardship, and so that becomes the most important thing to us.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd, and Jeff is on the line. Jeff, time for a quick question. Go right ahead, buddy.
Thank you, Coy. Great to hear you and your guest. Good stuff. Question for your guest, though. Talking about Robert Hurt placating the Tea Party. Do you think it's really a fair statement with the fact that he won't even debate, you know, talk to the Tea Party candidate? I mean, he wants to, you know, totally ignore the candidate like he doesn't exist. So do you think that's really placating the Tea Party?
Well, maybe placating isn't the term I should have used. I think what the Republican candidates have been trying to do, and I think Hurt is an example of this, is find a place where they can be close enough to enough Tea Party supporters to pull off enough of them to support them, Republican candidates, even if they can't satisfy all of them. And in the situations like the Fifth, where a Tea Party candidate has emerged, it's a more difficult place to find yourself to satisfy enough of them to draw their support, but not become a part of them and not move all the way to where the Tea Party is. Because in a general election, you know, you've got to move somewhat to the middle to attract enough voters to win. And so maybe placate wasn't the right term. I think trying to find the right place for him in the whole mix of things is probably most what he's trying to do.
To attract some of them, yeah.
To attract enough of them to win the general election, but not attract so much of them that he gets pulled as far ideologically over as they are in relation to the median voter in the 5th Congressional District.
Yeah, great question, Jeff. I appreciate it. And by all accounts, Hurt is handling that challenge very, very well, it would appear. Quentin, thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care, Coy.
There's Quentin Kidd. He's the Director of Government at Christopher Newport University and a political scientist specializing in Southern politics and politics here in Virginia. I always look forward to talking with Quentin.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.